bound for South Australia, 9th to the 15th of October, 1836. Light was still searching for a place for the new capital, scouring the coast for a harbour. His diary records that they were helped by some locals. "We proceeded down the coast in search of the river the native woman had mentioned." There were other interactions between the existing South Australians and the newcomers during the week. Although they were very judgmental, the English were interested in the Aboriginal people. As Dr. Woodford recalled, "We have just returned from our native safari, where they entertained us with their native dance called by them corroboree. It is chiefly characterized by feats of activity and violent contortions of muscle, having nothing of grace in its composition. They dance it to a very monotonous, harsh kind of vocal music, constantly repeating the same words. After the dance was over, I played them an air on the flute. They seemed very much pleased, but did not evince any great surprise." The colonists were well aware of the fact that there were already people living in South Australia, and William Pullen records that they brought gifts with them. "Visited by the natives, distributed amongst them a few red jackets and trousers, old ordnance stores which we were furnished with for that purpose. They were very much pleased by them." Meanwhile, the Buffalo was preparing to leave the port of Rio in South America. Young Bingham Hutchinson's recorded some of the passengers' activities. "Showery weather. Got two mules on board and stowed them in the launch. Received a number of banana, pine, cactus and other plants as emigrants to South Australia." It was a different atmosphere on the Africaine, which was in the Indian Ocean. Mary Thomas gave an account of a tremendous storm.
"It became a complete hurricane. The vessel plunged and rolled from side to side in such a manner that those who had never been to sea can have no idea of, and the waves dashed over the ship with fearful violence. The captain, mates and crew were upon the deck the whole night. For myself, I neither undressed nor lay down, but continued sitting at my cabin door, listening to and watching the progress of the storm, which from 9 to 12 o'clock was truly awful. The wind then lowered a little for about an hour, when it again rose with redoubled fury, and so continued till daylight."